All right, everyone, welcome back to QT with JC. This is our second episode, obviously. If you listened to the first one, thank you so much. And look forward to talking and kind of sharing about what's coming up this week, because this week we're starting Holy Week. And obviously, this is an interesting week entering into Holy Week. And I'm Max Linville. I am one of the campus ministers here at University of St. Thomas. And this episode this week is called Celebrating Easter When It Still Feels Like Lent. So everyone else can introduce themselves as well.
I'm Nicole Labadie. I also work at the University of St. Thomas in campus ministry.
And I'm Darnell Miller. I also work at UST, and I am the Catholic Outreach Manager.
Awesome. So I'll get us started with an opening prayer and reflection. I was really inspired by the priest's homily during his Palm Sunday Mass yesterday. That's one of the fruits that's really come out of this time of quarantine for me, is hearing some really great preaching about what it means to have hope during times, especially when we're not able to go to Mass in person. But this homily that I heard yesterday was, it struck me, and I want to share just like a couple of pieces of it with you all. First, that this week is so filled with emotion for many of us. As Max said, like not being able to go to Mass or participate in the liturgies like we normally do is very challenging. And even like, okay, we're approaching Easter. We want that resurrection. But knowing that, you know, our work home, stay safe order will likely go at least through the end of the month, if not later than that. So there's a lot of anxiety of wondering, okay, when will this all end? And the priest yesterday reminded us all like that all of the emotions that we're all experiencing now, in the world with COVID-19 are ones that Jesus and his disciples, and the people who knew him, his family, his friends, they all felt very deeply too. We're facing similar emotions as Jesus and his closest followers did nearly 2,000 years ago. For instance, the apostles wondered anxiously about Jesus's fate. The women of Jerusalem wept as they watched Jesus carry his cross. Jesus himself experienced isolation, pain, grief, feeling abandoned by God. And his disciples were even huddled in fear after his death, not knowing, you know, like what had just happened. Like this teacher, our friend, like this man who we have given our life to, for 3 years and, you know, helped him in his public ministry has died. Where is God in all of this? The suffering was very real for all of those individuals. And for all of those individuals, Easter came. And that was the priest's message yesterday. It was like Easter came for all of these, for all of those who knew very deep suffering, especially Jesus himself, Easter came. And it will come for us too. Something that's really given me hope as we approach, you know, the day, like the first day of Easter on Sunday, is that Easter is not just one day, but it's a season of 50 days because it takes that long of time for the truth of Easter to be fully realized and for the truth of the resurrection to be fully lived. Easter, of course, like lasts until the Feast of Pentecost when we have the descent of the Holy Spirit. But it's given, that's something that I've taken a lot of comfort in recently, is just remembering, okay, like even if there's not an end to COVID-19 on Sunday, Easter is still being unfolded and will continue to unfold. The other piece that the priest mentioned in his homily is that, you know, when our good, when good gifts get taken away from us, we oftentimes as human beings have a tendency to really lament and to grieve those things, and we focus our attention on their absence rather than back on the one who who gives those gifts to us in the first place. So this priest yesterday gave a really great analogy, and I can really relate to this as a mother of a 9-month-old. Kids, when you take something away from them, maybe for whatever reason, at some point you'll take something away from your child. And oftentimes they might throw a tantrum, like they were super attached to whatever it is they were holding. For my son, it was an HDMI cable attached to our DVD player this morning. And he was super upset that I took it away from him. Not knowing, okay, that it's probably not good for him to be eating an HDMI cord. And the priest said that mature faith doesn't throw a tantrum when good gifts are taken away, but rather recognizes that opportunity to simply be with the one who gives those gifts in the first place. And so the question that I'd like to start off with that I'll ask Max and Darnell is, how do you find yourself this Holy Week? And how are you in particular cultivating that mature faith, one that can be simply one with the giver of gifts, even when those gifts are noticeably absent right now?
Yeah, so
go ahead, Max.
Yeah. One of the things that has kind of this past week was pretty hectic for me, and it was not laid back at all. And it's actually entering into this Holy Week, it's been a very bumpy, really fast pace. I had to move out of my location I was living in and move to a different location kind of on the fly. And it really threw me through a wrench in the way that I had been planning everything. Just I had a routine going on, but in that, routine, it was just a comfort level, but entering into this new place, it's trying to create that comfort level again and really enter into this season of Holy Week. And I think one of the things that stuck out to me today, I posted an Instagram post, and this quote that I took really just kind of set up this week. I think hopefully it can try to push me through the rest of Holy Week. But the quote is from St. Paul, who is the founder of the Passionists, and it says, "The Passion of Jesus is a sea of sorrows, but it is also an ocean of love. Ask the Lord to teach you to fish in this ocean. Dive into its depths. No matter how deep you go, you will never reach the bottom." And I just found that super beautiful, and it inspired me to just take that step to be okay, in this hectic time of moving around and Holy Week starting, how can I enter into this sorrow, but also look for that love, that joy that kind of happens after? And some of the things that I'm taking, some of the steps that my fiance and I are taking, I have an extra room now. We're going to turn the room into a little mini chapel to just kind of set up our prayer times and everything like that. And then we're going to be watching the masses and kind of going through the Triduum. And also we're starting a retreat with Campus Ministry, and Nicole wrote a Triduum just reflection piece. So I probably use that too, just because why not? And I'm really excited to just enter into that whole experience and really turn this place, even though it was very hectic, into a place of prayer and a house of prayer. And I think that's really my next steps of what my week is kind of, and how I'm going to enter into Holy Week versus just continuing being hectic and letting my faith kind of go out of control to settle down and take this, create something for this week for myself.
For me, it starts with kind of contrasting what we've typically done in the past. So I go to St. Ambrose, and what we do for Holy Week, it involves a lot of floats, a lot of processions. Our priest is from Colombia, so that's something that's part of his culture that he's kind of brought over. So he has all the floats, and the past 2 years, I've been one of those who helps carry the floats during Holy Week. So on Friday, we're doing the Stations of the Cross, and we'll carry Jesus through that. And so it's a very physical representation of what's going on. And that's kind of what I've come to expect. And I think about last year, not really wanting to do it, but then this year, I don't even get the opportunity to not want to do it. It's just not available to me. So kind of going from having that whole time mapped out, I have to be there every day, I'm participating, there's something expected of me, something I'm participating in. Whereas this year, we're going to watch online, but there's not that same kind of physical aspect to it. And so trying to navigate that has been something that I've thought about a little bit, but I had an opportunity to talk with one of our priests the other day, and he talked about, you know, what we're not given in the physical, how much more is Christ going to give to us spiritually? And so I'm hoping to kind of keep internalizing that through the course of this week and allow that to happen, of thinking, how do we really participate in this spiritually? Because that's kind of all we have right now. We don't have the opportunity to participate there in person with people. It's kind of us and God, and, like, you know, the people directly around us. So my wife is here, and then her family thankfully lives really close by, so they come over for those masses. But that's what we have. So using that as an opportunity to really delve into that spiritual aspect of it and really, really get that spiritual connection from it is something I'm hoping to accomplish this time.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that, Darnell. I just keep thinking about just how, like, Lenten, this whole experience of quarantine and isolation has been. And, you know, like, it's interesting to reflect on Jesus going out into the wilderness for 40 days alone before beginning his public ministry. And that detail was one that I always sort of glanced over when reading about Jesus's temptation in the desert, that he did it alone. And I'm reminded of that, of the song Hosea, which is based on a few verses from the book of Hosea. And there's a line that says, "The wilderness will lead you to your heart where I will speak." And so that's something, like, Darnell, that, like, I'm looking forward to as well, is taking a true pause from work for several days. It's nice that University of St. Thomas, we have a half day on Thursday, and then we've got a true Easter break from Thursday afternoon through Monday. And so to really just take that time for rest and to be still and silent in a way that, like, yeah, I've been, praying in the morning at various points in the day, but, to just take those longer pauses, and simply wait and simply just be with God, let him speak to me, in the silence and stillness of our own hearts. That theme of waiting is very intensified on Holy Thursday, of course, like when the disciples are asked to stay awake with Jesus when he comes back from praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. He finds them asleep, and so the challenge and the invitation for us at the conclusion of the Mass of the Lord's Supper is, like, stay and remain. We set up those altar of repose. So it'll be interesting, yeah, like, having those aspects of waiting and of just of stillness and silence and looking to God for that spiritual communion when, like Darnell said, like, we're not able to physically, like, enter into the Mass and the ritual in the same way.
Yeah, for sure. And I think on this, like, topic of, like, how do we fully enter in, and I think part of this, like, entering into this experience is, I think it comes with a sense of joy. And I think usually with Easter you experience this great joy after, like, you go through the whole Holy Week, you experience this great joy. And I think that's kind of where we want to focus our conversations, like, how do we, even though it's going to feel very Lenten still, like, how do we take that step to switch into this joy of Easter? Because I think that is one of the most, or is the most joyful time in our season. I think this is, how do we take that step? And I think this is what we kind of want to talk about now, is, like, what does that step look like for each one of us when we're all at home quarantined? And, like, how can it look for y'all that are listening to enter into that joy, even though it will feel very Lenten still? Like, what is, and how do we experience that joy? So I guess our question, or the topic, is going to be, like, how are we each going to enter into that? And if each one of y'all want to share, and but y'all can go first and we'll kind of go from there.
So something that I was struck by was I talked to one of my best friends, Jared, over this weekend, and he was talking about how he was thinking about this kind of being disappointed that he can't do anything. Like, and he's always thinking about, like, you know, going out to do things. And he said that he took a pause and thought about the things he actually wanted to do. And those were things like, you know, listen to music, play his guitar, build things around the house. And he's like, I can do all of those things. I have access to all of that. Like, my guitars are here. My music is here. Like, I'm at my house. And he's like, I think what I really missed was that possibility of doing things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably the case for a lot of people, right? It's the possibility of going out. Like, we don't have the option to go out and to experience, you know, the different things, like whether it be like axe throwing or going to the movies or going to concerts. Like, we can't do that right now. But how often do we actually do those things anyway? Like, yeah, we go to the occasional concert. We go out to eat occasionally. But that's not the majority of our lives. Like, and it's fun to be able to do that, but that's not the thing. Like, those are the things that define you. And so I thought about, like, the things that I'd like to do. And the things that I like to do are work on projects, to make things, to focus on art, to listen to music, to explore ideas in my head, you know. And I have access to all of that, and I can do all of that here. And I'm sure there's people, like, everybody has things that they want to accomplish, that they want to do, that they want to participate in, that they can do at their house. So I think it's a reframing of what is the thing that's going to bring me joy. And it's not some external thing. It's kind of fulfilling those desires within yourself, right? So to explore that creativity, to make those things, to spend time with family, to have those conversations, those are opportunities that we have here that are very real to us that we can definitely participate in. And I think something in particular for Easter is like, how do we choose that joy? Like, I think about what, like, things that I wanted to make in terms of food, in terms of projects. And I think for Easter, this is an opportunity. Even if you're going to be home by yourself or with your significant other or a small family, step out and do something that's kind of out of the ordinary. It's something that you really, really looking forward to. And for Michelle and I, one thing we've talked about wanting to do is make tarts. We've not done that before. It seems like it's easy enough. It's something that's out of our element, but it's also something that we find joy in doing. And so for Easter, one of the things we're planning on doing is trying to make these tarts so that we can enjoy them and we have something to look forward to. That part, it kind of builds this part of that joy, right? Like, Christ is risen. How do we celebrate? Not by doing the same thing we've done every day, but by doing something different and slightly more elevated. And I think finding those kinds of small things will help you experience that joy in even just a minor way. And I think it's important to do the little things like that.
Yeah, what a great idea. And I love what you said, Darnell, about like creating something. And, you know, maybe like now is the time to pick up the hobby that you've always had sort of in the back of your mind, but never have truly had time for. But I love that. Yeah, like engaging in something creative, I think can be a really great way to spark joy. I think the way that we're hoping to enter into the Triduum and then to Easter in particular, we found a couple of good resources through, I feel like the Catholic world is exploding with spiritual resources right now, which is really wonderful. Mm-hmm. Two in particular that I'll point out. There are two guides called Holy Week at Home. One is by Liturgical Press, and then the other is from Be a Heart Design. And both you can find on our Facebook page. We've shared them there. And they're basically like adapted rituals that you can do at home. So, you know, in addition to streaming whatever liturgical services we will this week, we wanted to specifically like pray as a family or like as a domestic church. Engage in the prayer of the church as it's being prayed, you know, throughout the church, throughout the world. And so we'll do that. And in particular, there's a lot of good practical ideas in both of them of different ways to enter into the different days of this week, but also enter into Easter joy in particular. Some things that we're going to do as a family. We'll still dye Easter eggs. And then we usually, I mean, like most families do, have a pretty fancy dinner on Sunday. And something that I'm really looking forward to is, making a meal that's out of the ordinary for us. My family's Greek, so we usually do lamb for Easter. We'll do something a little bit simpler given the circumstances, but we'll cook something that's outside of our normal sort of go-to meals that we usually do. And we have a set of nice china that was given to us. And so we'll use like our fancy plates and our real napkins, and we'll have wine and make a nice dessert. I don't know if it'll be tarts, but it will be something, something good to just celebrate, because mm-hmm. it is a feast day in our tradition. And so the physical things that we do at home can be reminders of that day of great feasting. I know in particular, like, and I would imagine that this is the case for like a lot of people too, is like, you know, my parents got the time off of work and they're really upset that they can't come and visit for, you know, the Thursday through Sunday that they have off. And so something that we were really looking forward to, of course. But I think like for our Easter dinner, we'll probably just cook our separate Easter dinners, but then, you know, FaceTime or Zoom call, and just put our laptops maybe at the table. So that way we can still be eating together, virtually, of course, but, but still together in a sense. And then, yeah, some other ideas. Find an Easter playlist. I really sometimes forget about the power of music to uplift our spirit. But find an Easter playlist that speaks to the resurrection of Christ and just the joy that this day brings. And the other thing that I encourage you to think about too is where you're going to stream Easter Mass from. There's an opportunity to see masses in a lot of different parts of the world and a lot of different cathedrals from places maybe you always wanted to visit. Use this as an opportunity to maybe, to view a Mass that's out of your ordinary.
Nice. Yeah, no, I've taken some of those ideas, but... So they're all good. And I think that's kind of, for me, where this joy of like Easter, and I'm really excited. So I've been talking with my sister. She married a Jewish fellow, and one of the things that he wants to try to do is do a virtual Passover on Wednesday with everyone, which I think would be an awesome way to try to enter into this Triduum. And I think, so we're trying to work that out, and it'd be via Zoom and everything. And it'd be a very like practical one that just kind of would be a lot shorter than a real Passover, obviously. But I think that's some of the things that we talk about doing in our family. But I think for me, the joy really comes. So like for me personally, I have a very, like, my heart is into service and missionary stuff. And I think I have this missionary heart of like, how do we serve those that are marginalized? I think Pope Francis is always talking about look at the church. It's in these areas where they sometimes might get Mass once a year. And how do we enter more in solidarity with them? I think that's the joy that I'm really like pulling away from this experience is like, yes, I cannot receive Jesus at this time, but that solidarity of being with our brothers and sisters that maybe don't receive him for a year, it really brings like a sense of like community, global community, local community, and joy for me to just be like that we're entering and crossing this line of like, for us here in the United States, it's so easy to find Mass everywhere. And I think to take that step back and be like, this is truly entering into solidarity with our brothers and sisters is really brings me a lot of joy and pain. But part of being in solidarity is you're going to experience pain. And I think that's like, and now that we're experiencing this, how do we become voices for those that maybe wouldn't have a voice at this time? And I think that's where the joy is really moving me. And I'm super excited. I've talked with my grandparents too. We talked Saturday, but we're going to get all the family online and we're going to do a Zoom and eat dinner together as well. Kind of the same idea that Nicole was talking about. My family is a little big though, so it's too many faces on the screen. So we're going to try to like crush it down a little bit to not make it where we have 8 screens going on. Because once one talks, it just keeps rotating everywhere and gets very stressful. So, we're going to figure out a way to hopefully get everyone on like one, like each couple on a screen because sometimes they'd be talking from a different room, which is very frustrating. But everyone wants their own screen. So that's kind of some of the stuff that we're doing. But I think just entering in and realizing that we're in solidarity with the world around us is a different perspective too to take, especially when it comes to like, how do we grow as a church, especially like a church with an ever-changing face. And so that's kind of like my experience of how I'm entering into joy during this Holy Week.
I really like that idea of solidarity, especially as a way to mend relationships in the church. I feel, especially in America, it's so easy for us to bicker about how the Mass should be celebrated, like what music should we play, like what, you know, what prayers are said, or what, you know, what phrases are used and all that. And people get really animated about that. But I think being in a place where we're not able to experience Mass in person, like I appreciate the Mass in a different way now than just like, yeah, just being able to be there in person, I think is going to change for us. So I'm excited to see what that yields, because I think that idea of solidarity, it extends to those outside of our country, but even to those within our country. Like, yes, we can appreciate that being there in the Mass in a way that we haven't in the past because we're denied it. Mm-hmm. And I think that'll make hopefully more of us less rigid on the way it's celebrated throughout, and appreciate the fact that it is celebrated, because that's the important aspect of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is such an opportunity for that, for us to really, be mindful of that hunger and that deepening hunger that we have for the Eucharist. And, you know, how joyous will it be when we're finally able to go back to Mass and to receive Jesus present, present in bread and wine. It will be amazing. And that Easter will come. That's what Christ promises us. And that's something that gives me a lot of hope practically in the day-to-day, and helps me remain joyful, is that because of Jesus's cross and resurrection, we are promised resurrection too. We're promised new life, and we don't know when or how the end to COVID-19 will come about. We don't know when quarantine will end. But we know that it will, because Christ is victorious, and that is, that's what his resurrection means, is new life, often in unexpected ways, and not according to our own timelines. But he promises us that, and that's what it means to hope in the cross.
I think, where we want to take this now is like, how for y'all, you've heard some of our ideas of what we're feeling called to do as members of the church, to do within our own homes. And one of the things we want to give you a practical, and that's how we want to end all of our shows, is like, how do we challenge y'all and give you a way to engage with your faith in this time? And I think some of the ideas that we've been talking about is like, how do you create just that space? And I think, if Nicole and Darnell want to share, like, how are y'all creating that space within your house to, like, some of you might already have a space, and I kind of shared for me already is that I'm taking this extra room and I'm just going to turn it into a mini chapel with two chairs, and this will be the place that my fiance pray and just kind of enter into that experience. But I know each house is different, and like, how are y'all doing it for y'all too?
Yeah, so my husband and I set up a home altar pretty soon after we moved into our current place. But basically, we just got a table from Hobby Lobby. So, just an ordinary table. Put it against the wall. And for us, what we have on our home altar is we've got some icons on the wall behind it. We have a crucifix that stands up on the table. And then we've got just a variety of, of little, objects, whether they be, like little saint dolls, or there's a couple of icons that, we have just sort of like, standing on little frames. And then we've got some candles, good essential aspect for prayer at home. candles, and then some prayer cards with text. So I would say like the three elements for us are, we'll make it for like a crucifix or cross of some kind. And then any other religious art that you happen to have, even if you want to like print a picture or if you have an icon or a photograph to put up there. So like the art, the cross, a candle, some way to designate, when we pray, like we light a candle to symbolize our, similar to incense, like symbolize our prayer rising to God, but also just that like that Christ is present in that moment. And then some sort of text or like a prayer card or sacred words of some kind. Those are the elements that make up our home altar. And for us, it's a helpful way, I think, but overall, so like tools for all of you listeners, like the important thing with a home altar is just having some sort of set aside space where you can pray and find time for that stillness. Because as embodied souls, the physical aspect of our faith helps us to engage in the spiritual. This is like at the heart of our sacramental theology. So when we have a physical space, like maybe a particular chair or a particular thing that we view when we pray, a candle or an icon, an image, a prayer card, something like that, getting in that routine of the physical and praying in that particular place that set aside only for prayer, that helps us still our mind and our thoughts and any distractions that might come so that we can truly enter in and just simply be with God.
So Michelle and I have icons kind of strewn about the house right now, but one thing that she has mentioned that she's requested of me is to build some kneelers for mm-hmm. our room. So we have a corner of our bedroom that right now just houses a spin bike, which is not used on a regular basis. So we're moving that. But we bought some paint, and we're going to make that into an altar space as well. We have a St. Joseph the Worker icon, which you all can see behind me, the listeners can't, that she got me for Christmas that we've been meaning to put up. And her godmother got us this beautiful, like, marble carved relief of the Holy Family that we don't have a space to put up yet, but that's in the process. So we have a paint color picked out for it, and we have the paint, and we want to kind of set that in contrast to the rest of the house. Right now, everything is painted like a light gray, but it'll be a nice, like, warm, like, pinkish hue, very Marian, to kind of offset that space as a special space. And we'll put together some kneelers, and then a tabletop where we'll have some icons, and then mount the icons that we have there. But in terms of for Holy Week, something that we do is, Michelle's been really good about this. I'd never remember this, but she always does, is as we start the Mass, we kind of airdrop it onto our television. She'll go and set up the candles beside the TV and light them to signify that we're in that holy space. So I'm sure she'll keep that up for Holy Week. And hopefully I remember if she doesn't, but she's going to remember. And that's kind of what we've done to set that time aside, just kind of set that up for our prayers. The candles always go. We have candles everywhere. And that's kind of what we want to do, is kind of have that set aside space, kind of offset and ready for us to use when we need to pray.
Yeah. And I think based off of what you're talking about, like Darnell, like, it doesn't have to be anything. Like, you don't have to have a whole, like, maybe it's just the corner of your room.
Mm-hmm.
Just having a candle set up where you just, like, light a candle in the corner of your room and you set up and pray there. I think that, like, it doesn't have to be something intense or something like way out of the ordinary, because it's like you're in your home. So just like something small, because those small like tools, those small things that you do are sacramental and like moving, and it moves you into the spiritual. And I think that's what we're really challenging to do, is just take that step take a small step, lighting candles, setting up a corner. It doesn't have to mean you don't have to take over a whole room in your house. Unless you can, that'd be pretty cool. But if you can't, then we understand. But yeah, so those are some of the challenges that we're wanting to face y'all with, and just like some ideas of like what it looks like. And really excited for y'all to just like enter into this Holy Week and hopefully experience it to the best of your capability. And maybe we'll give you a new sense of what Holy Week means for, because it will for me. I already like am anticipating that, and I'm really excited to enter into a whole different like style and sense of like Holy Week that I've never experienced before. Mm-hmm. I think it's all for the show today. So
one more practical. Sorry,
one more. Here we go.
One more practical, not so shameless plug. Max mentioned this earlier, but we have a self-guided Easter retreat for y'all. So there will be more information coming out through our social media at Kelp Campus Min. But in particular, that's the focus that we really took for. This is taking the place of our busy student retreat this year. But it's a self-guided Easter retreat, particularly on entering into that Easter joy when it still feels like Lent. And so the retreat will have daily prayer, reflection, and then a daily challenge from beginning with Holy Thursday through the third week of Easter. So we encourage you to sign up for that if that's something that you're interested in.
And if you do have a dedicated prayer corner or space, we want to see it. So send up a photo of that on your social and just tag us in it so we can see what different people around have. That way we can get some ideas and share what works for us and kind of steal stuff from y'all. Because I'm curious.
Nice.
That'd be great. Tag at Kelp Campus Min.
Yeah, at Kelp Campus Min. And that's all we got for JC, or QT with JC. Still getting used to the name. So that's all we have for QT with JC. And I'll come with y'all. Peace out from here.